Our scripture comes from 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter. We're going to begin reading at verse 23. Verse 23, hear God's word. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty concerning the body and the blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. But if we judged ourselves truly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined so that we may not be condemned along with the world." This is God's holy and infallible word. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, we come today to the celebration of the Lord's Supper, and it's good for us to give our attention in God's word to that which it means. And so the question might be asked, well, what does the Lord's Supper mean? And in order to answer that question, I turn to one of the faithful old confessional statements known to many of us, and I would hope most of us, the old Belgic Confession of Faith. It's been around for several hundred years, but still a very solid biblical condensation and a teaching that still is faithful to God's word today. And in the 33rd article of the Belgic Confession, it gives this statement. And so I'm going to actually borrow this statement and its outline of the 3 points, which are the title of our sermon today, and use that to help us to understand what the Lord's Supper means. The confession says, "We believe that our good God has ordained, our good God, mindful of our crudeness and weakness, has ordained sacraments for us to seal his promise in us, to pledge his goodwill and grace towards us, and then also to nourish and sustain our faith." To seal, to pledge, and to nourish and sustain. The confession reminds us that the Lord's Supper, one of the two sacraments, is a sacrament. It is a sacrament which means, in the old language of the Reformation that we've continued even to this very day, that it is a sign and a seal of God's promise to us. When the question is asked in the Catechism, what are sacraments? The answer comes back, they are visible signs and seals of an inward and invisible grace wrought in us by the Holy Spirit. Good answer. What does that mean? Well, a sacrament. Let's start there. That word comes from the Latin into our English language, and the word in Latin originally meant an oath that was taken by someone such as a soldier upon enlistment. It was his pledge, his oath. And that was also taken when a lawsuit was begun, that those who were entering into that were pledging that they were going to deal truthfully. A sacrament, therefore, is an oath or a pledge. It binds individuals. It pledges that it signifies something. And so the sacraments for us are then divinely given pledges that God has given to us. And I would remind you that God has given them to us. This is not just what the church came up with. This is something ordained, as Paul reminds us, Jesus commanded that it be done. Do this in remembrance of me. He ordained it, and he gave it, and he gives it as a pledge and as a seal of his promise to us. I think Calvin has one of the best explanations of what that seal means to us when he uses the analogy of a seal on a legal document. He says, taken by itself, the seal is meaningless. Have you seen a legal document with that little gold seal? Sure you have. Maybe you have that on some document that you may have. A marriage license often will have that. That seal, that gold thing is meaningless, isn't it? It's a piece of paper. But attached to that document, together, that gold seal, it confirms and authenticates what's written in that legal document. And Calvin applied that then to that seal of circumcision that God gave to Abraham. The seal didn't save Abraham. That is, circumcision didn't constitute his righteousness before God. But it called attention to the fact that God said, you're righteous by faith. And the seal of circumcision, Romans 4:11 calls it a seal of circumcision. It indicates that God attests by this seal that what that seal attests to, what it indicates, what it stands for, is a living reality. And that's really what the case is of the Lord's Supper, as is the case with if you have a marriage license. A marriage license is just a piece of paper. Mine's buried in my steel box somewhere. My daughter called me recently looking for a copy of hers. She had lost it. I'll just mention that, so if she listens to this, she'll be embarrassed about it. But she's getting a copy of it. Now, you just don't write out on a piece of paper and say, well, I'm married, and I wrote it down on a piece of paper, and this means that I'm married. You have to have a piece of paper that's written all of that information down on it, but that also has a seal, an official seal affixed to it that attests to that what's written on that paper is really true. And if you don't have the seal on the piece of paper is meaningless. The Lord's Supper is the attestation, the seal that God has given us to the truth of his gospel, that Jesus died for sinners, that the broken bread and the poured out wine symbolizes what Jesus Christ has done for us. And so it's a seal of his promise. It's given to us as a seal that indeed becomes to us an assurance. That's the next thing, that pledge of his goodwill and grace towards us that the Belgic Confession speaks of as a pledge to us that what God said he would do, he did, and that pledge assures us, and it reminds us that God has done that. You see, when Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me, he wants us to remember what he did, to remind us that he died in the place of sinners. And so he's given us symbols, the wine and the bread, that symbolize his death on our behalf. They are not his death. They are symbols of his death. But they point us, they remind us, they assure us that what happened so many years ago in time and in history on a hill called Calvary, where he died in the place of sinners, it's true. And as question 75 of the Heidelberg Catechism says, these elements are sure signs of Christ's body and blood. They point to his finished work, one sacrifice on the cross. Now, you say, how do they remind us? Well, by their emblematic quality, they remind us of his body and blood, but they also remind us that through his command and through his promise that God has guaranteed his gospel, that his promise to us is certain, it cannot fail, and God's gospel is Jesus died, and all who believe in him are saved. And that becomes then the source of our assurance for us. You see, the source of your assurance, your comfort in life and in death, the source of your joy and happiness as a believer in Jesus Christ isn't that you just woke up on the right side of the bed today and you felt really good about coming to church. You know, there are some people who kind of are that way. Their Christianity, if you want to call it that, I wouldn't, consists of, well, maybe today I'll go to church, maybe I'll participate in something that really speaks to me, and I enjoy it, and it entertains me, and what have you. No, the source of our assurance is not how we feel, but the source of our assurance is in what God has said in His Word and what He has given in His sacrament that sets forth the meaning of the death of Christ and tells us not to look inside of ourselves, but to look outside of ourselves to the finished work of Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross. I cannot underscore it enough. The sacrament boldly proclaims a historic gospel. It does not create faith in us. There's not some mystical, warm, fuzzy, gooey kind of feeling that we are supposed to experience when we partake of the Lord's Supper, and then we go home and say, oh, that felt so good. That's utterly false. The sacrament proclaims in the emblems that He has given us, the historic gospel. It doesn't create faith in us. It points us by faith to the Lamb of God. It calls us by faith to be able to sing blessed assurance. Jesus is mine because of Calvary. He's mine because He came into this world as the Son of God incarnate in the flesh, and He stood in my place and bore my punishment and God's wrath upon my sin. And because of that, my righteousness is the righteousness that comes from Christ and Christ alone. It's not a righteousness that I bring, but it's a righteousness that I receive through faith in the finished work declared in the gospel of word and sacrament of the Lord Jesus Christ. Beloved in the Lord, that's why the sinful, the weary, and the hopeless have hope. Because the table of the Lord, like the gospel of His word, is assurance to the sinful, to the weak and the weary, that the blood and the righteousness of Jesus saves, and that all who come to Him are saved for all eternity from the awful and the horrendous punishment that those who do not trust Him, those who do not bow to Him, those who do not confess Him will endure for all eternity. There's hope because the gospel of word and sacrament is true, and that, rest assured, is the assurance that God gives us in the sacrament. But not only does it proclaim Him, sealing His promise to us, it nourishes and it sustains our faith. It was not given to those who come to the table saying, well, I'm so pious, I think I'm ready to come to the table of the Lord. Who is worthy to come to the table of the Lord? Only those who are forgiven by the blood and righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you confess that, you are not confessing some readiness, some goodness on your part to be able to step forward and say, well, now I can do it. No, you are confessing that I shouldn't do it. I cannot do it. I may not do it. I cannot come except for the fact, and here is the gospel, that the blood and the righteousness of Jesus Christ are offered me in His gospel, and by naked, empty hands of faith, I receive that and trust in Him alone, turning from my sin to the Lord Jesus Christ and believing the promise of God. And that's the only foundation upon which I am able to come to this table. It's the foundation that says I belong to Christ. I'm His. It's not what I do. It's what He has done for me. The table doesn't say it's what you are and how good you think you've become, how you've washed your life up a little bit. Well, we should prepare for the table, but there isn't a 95% getting ready for the table. No, I'm 100% not able to come to the table, but in Jesus, I'm 100% welcome. And His 100% always outweighs my 100% evil sin and wickedness. He says, come, do this in remembrance of me. And it's what God does for me at the table that the believer needs to see. He nourishes me. He refreshes me. Why? Because in direct union by faith with the Lord Jesus Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit, we're joined to Him who reigns at the right hand of God but dwells in us by His powerful Spirit, like the vine and the branches, the head and the body. We have no life in ourselves apart from Him, but joined to Him, life flows through us, and His presence and His power are with us. If you've ever built a home and you've had to do all of that good stuff, you lay the brick and you get to the point you wire the house and you put all the fixtures in, you plumb it and you get it all ready. You can have your house all wired up for electricity, but if you're not connected to the main pole, you're going to be cooking with gas. You got to be connected to the main pole, and when you're connected to the main pole and you throw the switch in the main breaker and you plug it in, whatever you plug in and you turn it on, now you've got power. That's the same way it is in the Church of Jesus Christ. You've got to be connected to the main, to the head. You're the branch, He's the vine. And if you're not connected by faith to Him, no nourishment flows to the body. But like the vine and the branches, if you're connected, the vine gives life to the branch. The vine gives nourishment to the branch. And by faith, that is what we have in Christ. We have fellowship with Him. And He tells us so much so, He says, whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do this in remembrance of me. Not only has He authorized it, but He's attached a promise of blessing to its observance. Whenever you do it, you're doing it in celebration of what He's done, but you're also doing it in fellowship with Him, and it symbolizes, therefore, our absolute dependence and our complete dependence upon Him. And He has given us such an instructive word in the sacrament that teaches us that, because what we eat is sustaining and nourishing. And just as what we take in sustains and nourishes, so Jesus Christ sustains and nourishes our spiritual lives because He is present. And if He was not present, these would be empty words. The sacrament would be meaningless. But because Christ is present in word and sacrament in the power of the Holy Spirit, He nourishes us and strengthens us to eternal life. What we have, therefore, in both word and sacrament is simply the oral and, what's the other one? A-U-R-A-L, the hearing gate, and the seeing or the tasting gate. Well, anyway, we have word and sacrament. God speaks to us, we hear it. God speaks to us, we see it. The gospel is what we are to see. The gospel is what is presented to us in both word, preached, Jesus crucified for sinners. The sacrament, visibly declaring the gospel of Jesus sacrificed for sinners. This is the gracious call of faith to Jesus Christ. The gospel. To the negligent, those who don't seem to think it's so important, who don't think that Jesus and His word is so important, when He told us, do this in remembrance of me, it calls us to set forth the nature of that covenant fellowship that we have with Him, and it's a call once again to strengthen, to renew that faith in Him. It doesn't ask you if it is convenient It fits your schedule. It doesn't ask you if you come today, do you feel forgiven? I can guarantee you if you come and you say, I have to feel forgiven to enable me to come to receive the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, you're fooling yourself because you cannot in your own self work up enough feeling, as it were, to say, okay, now I feel forgiven enough that I can come to the table of the Lord. That's not the purpose of the supper. It's not asking you if it is within you that you feel forgiven. It is not asking you if you feel worthy of coming to the table of the Lord. The table of the Lord only asks you one thing. Do you confess that you're a hopeless, lost sinner apart from Jesus Christ, but your hope rests in Him, and that by faith in Him you've come to the cross and you've found forgiveness of sins? That's the call of the gospel. That's the message of the table. And it's the message to every believer in Jesus Christ for the rejoicing in the gospel and personally, that we may look at ourselves and realize that it reminds us that it's all that Jesus has done and nothing that we could do. I should be able to say, I come because of what Christ has done, only because of what Christ has done to this, the table of the Lord. Oh, there should also be that which we say to ourselves, I hate my sin, but first I have to love Jesus. And I have to want to obey Him and follow His will. I have to be able to say, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. There's no greater means that God has given us to strengthen our faith than word and sacrament. There isn't any exercise that you can come up with in your own thinking that will build your faith, make you a better Christian, and give you a whole solid place to stand than what God has given you in His Word, the food that nourishes, the Christ that speaks to our hearts, the promise that He declares that assures you of His love and grace and sovereign care in your life, and the seal that attests to the truth of the gospel that there's no hope anywhere but in Jesus. Jesus saves, and Jesus alone. That is the message and the invitation of the table of the Lord Jesus Christ. Only trust Him. Only trust Him, the hymn writer said. Only trust Him now. Believe and be saved. Word and sacrament declare God's promise to the heart of every believer. There should be a firm and a hearty amen. Let us pray.